second episode, Why Does God Give Illnesses? The meeting with the Keeper of Knowledge took place in a spacious, bright hall in a Scandinavian style, filled with light and fresh air. There were no platforms or stages, just an elegant wooden table and a soft chair for the speaker in the center of the hall, and several rows of elegant white chairs for the audience were arranged in a circle. All of this contributed to generate a deep sense of closeness, a feeling of no separation whatsoever, freedom from artificially created boundaries. But it did not lessen the value of spiritual hierarchy for the disciples, as the Keeper of Knowledge stood so high that their souls ignited with delight and reverence. In the eyes of the listeners, sincere joy of meeting the Master and a great desire to touch the world of knowledge were evident. As the sounds of the prayer, with which the Keeper of Knowledge began every meeting, dissolved in silence, an elderly man with a keen, attentive gaze took the floor. His appearance was picturesque. Long gray hair, a tunic in an ethnic Eastern style, and a slightly melodic manner of speaking.
"Beloved Master," he said, bowing, "one question torments me greatly. I really want to help people, but to what extent can I interfere in the lives of others as a healer without taking away their karma?"
"Ilarion,"
the Keeper of Knowledge involved the disciple in the energy of light and goodness.
"If a person is sick, it means that God did so to make him ponder the meaning of life, whether he is on the right path, whether he is developing correctly. The one who falls ill begins to contemplate and find answers. The healer can help him suggest that it's time to become a spiritual person. If this happens, and the person starts to improve, spiritually develop, then the healer does not take on his karma, because God's plan is being fulfilled. But if the healer does not guide the sick person on the path of development, does not tell him about the school, about the egregore, and simply tries to heal him, leaving him in the same unspiritual state he was before, then he takes on his karma. After all, God wanted something completely different."
The man nodded understandingly, agreeing with every word of the Master.
"Yes, thank you, Great One. I understand. So even if we are in the school and we get sick, does that also mean that the spirits want to tell us something?"
"Yes, the spirits say that there is not enough development, that the person does not understand what is happening. He poorly uses sharp angles and complex situations for his growth, which God gives him to hint, to prompt reflection. Let me tell you a parable."
The Keeper of Knowledge addressed everyone present. He stood up from his seat and slowly moved towards the center of the hall. His long black cloak swayed slightly with his steps, and his arms, spread out to the sides in wide sleeves, resembled wings.
"Once a seeker came to the elder Zosima asking for healing, but he refused to heal him and sent him to repent for his sins. Then one of the disciples offered to help the sick man, and indeed healed him. And then he became proud. 'Oh, I healed him, and Zosima didn't even try. Maybe he's getting old, losing strength.'"
Soon, that same disciple healer fell ill and asked the elder, "Why? Why?"
"Because you are not doing what God wants. He gave this person an illness not just like that, but so that he would ponder his life, repent of sins, ask God for forgiveness. And you healed him without allowing him to reconsider his life and step onto the path of spiritual development. And that person remained a fool, walking the path of ignorance."
"Wise," Zosima replied. The Keeper of Knowledge paused. The hall fell silent, and the awareness of what was said penetrated their souls.
"Thank you."
Ilarion slowly sat down on his chair, his eyes filled with insight. The clarity of the Master's words helped him understand the question that had been tormenting him. Meanwhile, an energetic brunette of medium height, around 45, in a long, beautiful cornflower blue dress matching her blue eyes, caught the attention of those gathered. she sat quite far away, and to be heard, tried to speak louder.
Beloved master, I want to ask you about women.
The master gestured for her to come closer to the center so that everyone could hear.
Nowadays, many women suffer from incurable female diseases. Why does this happen? Why does God give a woman an illness?
Not only women, Larissa. Nowadays, even little children get sick or are born with complex diseases. All this happens due to an unhealthy environment. Firstly, people lead a sedentary and unhealthy lifestyle. Our ancestors used to live in the fresh air, among trees, moved a lot, made a lot of physical efforts, carried water, chopped wood. That's why people were healthier.
The energy with which the master spoke spread throughout the hall. He seemed to transfer his active state to the disciples. Today's meeting was special. The topic of pain, illnesses, and suffering somehow touched everyone, either personally or because of their close ones, acquaintances, relatives. New knowledge was crucial. Men and women of all ages listened attentively to the keeper of knowledge, trying not to miss a single word or gesture, to grasp the energetic part of the truth that their beloved master was revealing before them.
And what's happening now?
Sighed the keeper sadly.
Little children don't run, don't jump, don't engage in anything. Instead, they sit behind the computer, staring at the screen.
He puffed his cheeks, mimicking a little one, and waved his hands, tapping his fingers in the air, pretending to type on a keyboard.
Or they stare at the phone screen.
He stretched out his hand, pretending to take a selfie, and smiled sadly. Some listeners chuckled quietly, understanding that it was a sad irony.
It's because of such activities that they start getting sick later on,
continued the great master.
Secondly, in the past, people were religious. They went to church, prayed, and observed fasts. But now there are many unspiritual people who believe in nothing, just lie on the couch and watch TV all day long. People lack faith and the desire for development, so both adults and children get sick.
The master said energetically.
Master, am I correct in understanding that healing should not just be about the body, like filling in energy holes, patching up where needed, and that's it, but rather a spiritual practice where healing occurs on all subtle bodies? And a true healer works with them, with each chakra?
Asked a very young, red-haired, freckled boy sitting by the window. Sergei looked like a schoolboy, but he was actually a first-year college student.
Yes, you are absolutely right, Sergei. If something is wrong with a person, it means his entire organism is in the wrong state, not just one organ. Modern doctors start treating that unfortunate organ, eliminating the symptoms. But they don't look at the person as a whole. Why and where the energy flows incorrectly, what thoughts or emotions are destroying him, or something else. A sick person needs to be treated holistically, remembering that he consists not only of the physical, but of the subtle bodies. And to heal them, a person must read prayers, experience elevated emotions, have strong beliefs, and direct energy in the right direction. My beloved students, seeking knowledge, remember the main thing. When a person is in harmony, then he will stop getting sick.
Everyone in the hall felt that the keeper of knowledge spoke from the heart, addressing each of them personally. With his benevolent speeches, he not only revealed the truth before them, but also seemed to heal the souls of everyone present.
Thank you, Keeper. Today's conversation is challenging but very useful. May I ask another question? Tell me, please.
Larissa, who asked about women's illnesses, rose again. It was evident that the topic of health was very relevant to her.
Many people have chronic diseases, and they are different. Someone has a weak heart. Someone has bone problems. Someone's nervous system is not working well. What is this? The diversity of the absolute? Through various lessons and symptoms, does God want to convey different thoughts?
Yes, of course, Larissa. Each disease can be considered separately, but also, depending on the thought patterns and lifestyle, each person has their weak spot, and when he degrades, he has less energy. Where it's weakened, that's where it tears. That vulnerable spot starts suffering, and a chronic disease develops. Then you need to look at what exactly this weak spot is associated with. For example, each organ corresponds to a specific zodiac sign, and the zodiac sign is associated with specific character traits. By studying which planet is related to each organ, a person can understand which qualities are working incorrectly for him. What actions are incorrect? If a person examines his illness, studies the reasons for its occurrence, he will understand its cause and why God gave him this disease. And he will understand that he should work on himself.
The keeper of knowledge took a glance around the hall, pleased to note in the eyes of his disciples a response, the enlightenment and insights that his words had triggered in them.
What do you think, Larissa, will happen if a sick person does nothing, doesn't contemplate, doesn't develop?
He turned to the woman who asked the question.
His chronic illness will persist, it will progress,
confidently replied the woman.
Yes, absolutely right. And even if he heals it, another illness will come to him because the main cause is not eliminated. What is this main cause?
The keeper of knowledge looked questioningly at the people sitting around, wishing to hear confirmation that they understood his words.
The cause is his unspiritual state.
Lack of spirituality.
Unwillingness to develop.
Correct answers echoed from different corners of the hall, and the keeper once again felt a happy state, thanking God that his beloved students were absorbing knowledge, understanding him, and right now, they were following him on the right path.
Can I add to the topic?
David, a tall, slender young man with glasses, energetically jumped up from his seat. It was clear that he couldn't wait to share his thoughts with the master and fellow students. He had a beautiful, velvety voice and expressive speech. Prominent cheekbones and a well-defined large chin gave his face a strong-willed expression.
Yes, David.
The keeper of knowledge nodded gently.
Here's the thing. It seems to me that today we live in a world of consumerism. Businessmen profiting on the illnesses of others benefit from people leading an unhealthy lifestyle, suffering and getting sick, stuffing them with medicines. They parasitize on us. And for this, they even create non-existing diseases, perform fake diagnostics.
The guy waved his hand emotionally, cutting through the air, expressing his indignation.
And I agree with David,
added Igor, sitting next to him, a modestly dressed middle-aged man, characterized by large brown eyes and thick, furrowed eyebrows. Slightly old-fashioned, but neat attire indicated a person of conservative views. It was evident that the man was shy. He spoke slightly stuttering from excitement.
And all because getting sick has become fashionable, popular. Many like to go to hospitals, constantly diagnose themselves, boast, I have this disease and also this one. It's some kind of insane cult of diseases.
You are both right. And this cult of diseases is imposed on people consciously, just like the cult of medications. As a result, people get sick, swallow handfuls of medicines, but it no longer helps them. There's only one way out: to start leading a healthy lifestyle, praying, correctly eating, moving more, doing exercises, yoga. Only in this way can one break out of the vicious circle. Illness, pills, illness, pills.
In the hall, a murmur arose. Everyone had a similar story in their family. Igor, unexpectedly finding himself in the center of the discussion, added more confidently.
I remember one student wrote that she takes pills for attention deficit. This is madness, to invent pills for attention deficit.
Yes, Igor. They've come up with all sorts of nonsense,
agreed the keeper.
Parents who can't handle their active children give them neuroleptics. And the little one sits there, drooling, with a meaningless look. but adults are happy. How peaceful it has become. No one bothers us. Thanks to the doctor, he helped. Whether necessary or not, people are stuffed with all sorts of pills, crippling the population, creating new diseases, as David mentioned. And all for the sake of selling more medicines.
A hand went up in the hall.
Master, I'm a bit confused. They say all diseases are from stress.
A graceful woman, about 30 years old, with neatly gathered long brown hair in an elegant beige knit suit, began to speak after the master's approval.
Doctors, prescribing rest to a person, send him to a sanatorium. There is probably some truth in this because many live in some terrible stress. But on the other hand, as you said, and I see the truth in your words, stress is beneficial for health. I witnessed it myself. As soon as a person starts something new, he forgets about his illnesses, recovers. Where is the truth? How to act correctly?
In her almond-shaped gray eyes, framed by fluffy lashes, there was helplessness from being entangled in conflicting statements.
Stress, like illness, Olga, is needed for a person to reflect and start developing spiritually. One must understand that they identified too much with their selfishness. If a person in stress reconsiders their life, actions, ideas, thoughts, and emotions, then stress will be beneficial for them. But if they do nothing and just drink neuroleptics for calmness, of course nothing will change. The person must understand what they are doing wrong. Only then will they find the reason to get rid of stress. Otherwise, stress will continue to destroy them, and no pills will help them.
I understand,
the young woman continued,
that if a person wants to overcome their illness, it is important for them to embark on a spiritual path. And one can start with sacrifice. But, for example, a ritual is also a substitute sacrifice. Although people often start to get upset, why do these rituals cost money? How to work with this correctly, and what is the right attitude towards it?
Well, these people need to be told money is the first level of sacrifice. Because if you ask a person for a real sacrifice, give up your lie that causes negative emotions in you, they will say, no, I'm not ready, I can't. Or, for example, suggest that they sacrifice the thought that something in this world is unfair, that they're missing something there.
No, they won't be ready to give up the idea of injustice either.
The student agreed.
I've encountered such people. Shamefully admitting, I used to be like that too. Now, thanks to you, Keeper, I am changing. Thank you.
You are right, Keeper of Knowledge. Such a person will cling to their ideas with their teeth. They will say, no, let me give you money instead, but I will never give up lying because it is the most precious and important thing for me. I cannot live without it.
The previous speaker, David, a critic of fake businessmen, also joined the discussion of the topic that concerned him.
I'm glad that you understand what I am talking about.
The master stood up from the table again and continued the story, being very close to the students.
Meanwhile, from these thoughts, such a person experiences a whole range of negative emotions that destroy them. They're constantly offended, irritated, angry, envious, or something else. They're not ready to sacrifice yet. They're not capable, because they're woven from it. Selfishness, lies, envy, and so on. They cannot reject themselves.
The faces of those present were apprehensive. People plunged into memories. Each one remembered himself when he was selfish, angry, slanderous. The powerful call of the keeper tore them out from their trance. Then, raising his tone, he exclaimed,
then when a person embarks on the path of spiritual perfectioning, they will understand the need to sacrifice their negative emotions and identification with all sorts of nonsense. The next stage comes when, having reached a high spiritual level, a person truly realizes how important it is to sacrifice what destroys them. the repulsive and harmful things they identify with, what they consider themselves to be. At that point, the person stops suffering, and misfortunes cease to happen to them. At that moment, they can truly free themselves from all their sufferings.
A wave of love swept through the hall. Being close to the Keeper of Knowledge gave people faith in the benevolent state he spoke of, the state they aspired to attain. The Master's attention was drawn to a noise in the back rows on the left. Two modestly dressed elderly listeners were quietly arguing, apparently deciding who would ask a question. He smiled and nodded, indicating that he was ready to listen. Finally, one of them, the bolder one, spoke up. She was a well-built woman with long, dark chestnut hair and a beautiful amethyst necklace on her chest.
Great one, we have a question. We had a student who was willing to pay any amount to have her illnesses taken away. For many years, she went through healing rituals annually, but still carried all her sins and negativity with her. During the ritual, I practically forced her to take an oath that she would sacrifice her negative emotions. All this accompanied by intense emotions and the beating of the drum. After the ritual, she was in a strange state, but at least some sense of responsibility had appeared in her.
Yes, Eliza. A person clings to what destroys them. They hold on to the stone that drags them down, not realizing that these identifications with negativity are the most harmful. If they were to rid themselves of it right now, they would become the happiest person. That's why they continue to suffer. To reach this understanding, one needs a spiritual path, and it is always lengthy. Imagine,
the keeper laughed.
You explain everything to a person, and they just instantly drop everything and got enlightened. It's impossible.
The hall came alive. People laughed, watching as the keeper cheerfully and theatrically depicted the instantly enlightened one, upon whom, like Newton's apple, enlightenment had fallen on their head.
What about the slow path?
The master spoke again seriously.
Initially, it involves material sacrifices, then, for example, helping the school. Gradually, step by step, a person comes to real sacrifices, giving up bad thoughts and emotions, selfishness, negativity. Then they become happy and receive God's grace.
Often people want a magical pill for their sacrifices.
Eliza's friend, a short, elegant woman in a denim pantsuit with a very short haircut, shared her thoughts with the master and the audience. The silver color of her hair added eccentricity rather than age.
These people say, "Your spiritual path is long and difficult. Not for me. I want something simpler." But even for that, a person still has to change their lifestyle. There is no easier. There is no intermediate. So a person who truly wants to change must embark on the spiritual path, and it's just a matter of time and the speed of their progress. Am I understanding correctly? Or is there an easy pathway?
No, there is no easy one, Darina. Even if it sometimes seems like the disease has receded, that doctors have fought it with pills and symptoms have gone away. But no. Then another one appears, and then a third. Besides illness, many sufferings and misfortunes come into the life of that person. All because they cling, first and foremost, to their selfishness, cultivating negative thoughts and emotions. But they don't want to understand and let go of it. But when you tell them for the first time, they won't even understand what you're talking about. Only gradually can they embark on the path of understanding. Ah, it turns out my thoughts are really negative, and everything in my head is a lie. And it's terrible, and I thought it was normal to be negative all day. The path of reconsideration is slow. But when it happens, a person starts to free themselves from the bad things that torment them that create an inner hell.
Leaving the women to reconsider the knowledge they had received, the keeper turned to the bald man in orange clothes.
Sathya, I see you've been wanting to ask something for a long time.
Yes, great master. One question troubles me.
The disciple responded.
Am I correct in understanding that one way to regain health is through reconsideration, and another way to deal with illness is through service? I've personally seen examples where a person serves in the ashram, and the divine power seems to hold the spring of karma, and the person does not get sick. But if they leave, all illnesses come back. So, did that person not reconsider their life? Were they just protected while in service? Right?
The thing is, Sathya, as long as a person serves, they are connected to the egregore and receive energy from it, which supports them. At that moment, they are open to the divine power. When they stop serving, instead of meditating or praying, they separate themselves from God again, immersing themselves in their selfishness. When the energy from the egregore stops flowing, they isolate themselves, and without energy themselves, the illnesses start again, and they need to go through three stages again. The first is material sacrifice. The second is service, helping someone. The third is sacrificing destructive thoughts, emotions, and identification. The person you mentioned was on the second stage but deviated from it, and the illnesses returned.
Satya bowed gratefully. The keeper, smiling kindly, embraced the disciple, showering him with a flow of unconditional love. He was about to return to the stage and his table when he noticed some confusion on the left side from where he was. Approaching closer, he received a question note. Master, please tell me, how does communication with spirits, nature, happen? When you communicate with them, do they ask any questions? Realizing that the question came from Grandma Lucia, a modest and inconspicuous woman who couldn't speak that day due to losing her voice, the keeper sat next to her and took her hand. The woman's eyes filled with tears. The keeper of knowledge tuned into the spirits of the magnificent nature he had contemplated in the morning walk and radiated a state of grace. He paused, immersed in bliss, allowing the flow of light through himself and transmitting this state to the disciples.
This is emotional communication, similar to the dialogue between lovers. They don't need to ask each other questions. They receive answers from heart to heart. It's an energy flow, interaction on an emotional level through elevated emotions. Such communication occurs with spirits of nature, deities, or other beings. It's a profound connection. People experience the emotions given by the spirits, and the spirits immerse themselves in the emotions we transmit to them. There are no questions and answers. It's all about the mind, which is only needed to tune into elevated spiritual communication. Here, the mind is not necessary. Both I and the spirits are already tuned, so we communicate on an emotional level.
Lucia's face revealed that she could feel this communication beyond the mind, a conversation at the heart level. Other disciples, also touched by this process, silently thanked her for such a profound question, through which the master guided everyone to elevated emotions. Meanwhile, Ilarion, who had spoken at the very beginning, had more questions, and he turned to the master.
Great one. I wanted to ask about religions, for example, in Christianity, where people of high spiritual level are accustomed to making significant sacrifices. They understand the essence of sacrifices. But in ordinary society, there is no such culture. So when people encounter the school, this becomes one of the main stumbling blocks. No matter how I explain to a person what we do and how important it is to sacrifice, I can't convey this idea to people. Help with advice.
because such a person thinks that they can just lie on the couch, drink beer, watch TV, and everything should come to them for nothing. Happiness, joy, and health. The person doesn't want understanding, reconsideration. They want to get everything effortlessly, without sacrificing anything. They want to remain as they are, do nothing, and still receive blessings for free. Why should I do anything? Let me be healed or do something for me without my efforts, and I'll continue to live wrongly, decay and degrade. Pay money, or help the school, or bring in new people. Share knowledge with others, bringing them closer to the truth. Everything is rejected, but if you tell them, let go of bad thoughts and emotions, they won't want to hear anything because they're set on getting everything for free. They just don't understand that everything can be obtained only through one's efforts and the desire for spiritual development. You need to explain to such a person that he thinks like a true egoist. Everything for me, nothing from me. Naturally, no changes will occur in such a personality. Moreover, they will start suffering even more. My advice to you, Ilarion, is to encourage them to reflect on for whom they can do something good. Help, sacrifice, give. Let them try it, and they will immediately feel an improvement in their condition. Initially, emotions will become brighter and more elevated, and then physical changes will follow. Tell them who an egoist is, someone who has closed themselves off from God, from existence, and pulls the blanket only towards themselves, but to share and give. They disagree. Explain the three levels of sacrifice on the path to liberation, from diseases, suffering, and torment, on the path to God and happiness.
Thank you, Master. I will try.
The man expressed his gratitude.
I feel in my heart that with your support, this person will understand why sacrifices are necessary. Thank you for helping even those who know nothing about you.
The next to speak were the young couple, Natalie and Gareth. They resembled each other in some ways, light, friendly, smiling, with clear, kind eyes, and they even asked a question together, continuing each other's thoughts.
Master, can we clarify once again? Does the law of sacrifice mean it's essentially the most crucial law for health and happiness?
If we look around, trees sacrifice wood and oxygen for us. The sun sacrifices light and warmth.
But a human is born as an egoist and only demands everything for themselves.
Maybe that's why they get sick from early childhood, not understanding the meaning of sacrifice.
It's because they were raised incorrectly. I think it's no coincidence that you, Natalie and Gareth, asked this question. I know you have 4 children, and I believe that my words will help you.
The Keeper of Knowledge smiled approvingly.
To a little child, everyone brings a sea of candies, hundreds of toys, and fulfills their every wish. First, they clean up their toys, then do their homework for them. And the child begins to think that it should always be like this. Growing up, they become a major egomaniac, expecting the same. Everyone running to them, doing everything for them for free. But it should be different. Give the little one a handful of candies and say, give them all to your friends. And when they distribute everything and keep nothing for themselves, that's when the spiritual journey begins. Then bring a bag of toys and say, distribute them to your friends. See, they have no toys. Then make them help their grandparents or someone else. Instill the habit of being a normal spiritual person who does something bright and good for the world from a very young age. Then such a child will grow up joyful and happy, and everything will be good for them because they will be in God's grace all the time. It's that simple. Gave away toys, distributed candies, helped people. opened up to God. God entered them, and they began to enlighten. May my blessing be with you. Hayum.
The master proceeded to the exit, accompanied by assistants, showering the respectfully bowing disciples with love and support. The conversation ended, but the light energy bestowed upon the students by the Keeper of Knowledge remained with them, along with great gratitude to the Master for helping them touch the divine teaching. All the disciples now dwelled in a state of gratitude to the great Master and God for being so close to him, for being able to listen to his wisdom, which could not be found anywhere else. Their eyes were shining, and understanding of everything said by the sage was evident in them. They knew for sure that if someone fell ill, it meant that their entire organism was in the wrong state, not just some particular organ. Modern doctors, however, only start treating one unfortunate organ, eliminating symptoms. But they don't look at the person as a whole. Why and where the energy flows incorrectly, what thoughts or emotions are destroying them, or something else. And a sick person needs to be treated holistically, remembering that they consist not only of the physical, but also of subtle bodies. And to heal them, the person must read prayers, experience elevated emotions, have strong intentions, and direct energy in the right tendency. The disciples now understood the truth that in the modern world, dominated by consumerism, non-existing illnesses are created. Fake diagnostics are conducted. Therefore, it's important to understand who you are going to for treatment. True healers must be sought. The disciples now realized that God sends illness or stress to a person with the purpose of making them reflect and begin spiritual development. They must understand that they have identified too much with their egoism. If a person reevaluates their life, actions, ideas, thoughts, and emotions in such a situation, it will benefit them. But if a person does nothing and simply drinks neuroleptics for calmness, nothing will change, of course. The person must understand what they are doing wrong. Only then will they find the cause and be able to get rid of stress or illness. Otherwise, the destruction of the person will continue, and no pills will help them. Without losing their elevated state, the disciples moved to the hall for spiritual practices to gain practical experience, which could only be obtained with the guidance of the Keeper of Knowledge and his specially trained conductors of his power.
Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website www.amazon1.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.